My subject to open up is regulations. A few weeks ago, a court ruled that OSHA, and OSHA's in the Department of Labor, could not skirt federal rulemaking process to eliminate the retail exemption for anhydrous ammonia retail locations. The rulemaking process is administered under the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. I consider this welcome news following my letter, which was nearly a year ago, to OSHA about its misguided rule. Unfortunately, this is just one of a string of cases where the court system has had to intervene to protect farmers and businesses from regulations in the Obama administration. I would guess, in summing up a lot of cases, not just dealing with agriculture, but probably more than 50 times, the court has intervened to say the president either didn't follow the law or didn't follow the Constitution. I had an absolute number about 6 months ago of 38 cases. There's been several cases since then. The exact number, I'm not sure. Far too often, regulations were put in place without fully comprehending the impact of the rule and what that rule's impact would have on everyday Americans. An example beyond the anhydrous thing that I keep repeating is Waters of the U.S. rule. Without the courts, 97% of the land in Iowa would be subject to EPA's heavy hand. Beyond those two rules, I pressed agencies for overregulating dust, that's the infamous one, fuel storage, spray drift, banking, and school lunches. Today, we're 100 days away from the end of this presidency. So I hope that we don't have any more surprise regulations dropped in the form final rules as this Obama administration heads to the exits. Call the questions, George.
Tom Ryder.
Good morning, Senator. Senator, is there any way to prevent these types of regulations from going forward? Anything Congress could do so that the courts don't have to get involved or anything they should do?
Yeah. First of all, unless the power comes directly from the Constitution, and most of that power goes directly to the president, not to cabinets, whatever Congress delegates too much or just a little rulemaking to the agency, it brings back to the Congress where the writers of the Constitution decided all legislative power should be for a final decision whether or not the regulation followed the intent that Congress did when we delegated the rule in the first place. And that's, I would vote for that. And that would control these bureaucrats, because now bureaucrats tend to stretch congressional power just as far as they can. And as an example, Waters of the U.S., because already a court has stepped in and said that we're going to hold this up until we get a hearing on it because we think EPA went too far. Not necessarily too far, went beyond the power given to them by Congress. Next question.
Amy Mayer.
I don't have a question this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Iowa Agribusiness.
Well, Senator, good morning. This is Ken Root. A bit off of the subject area here, but if TPP doesn't come up in the lame duck session, do you think you've got time to hear for a candidate for Supreme Court during that period of time?
If we had time, we wouldn't do it, because we've said that the new president ought to make the choice, so it'll be January 20th before we will hear from the new president who they want to put on the court. At that point, we will have to consider the nomination.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Chuck Abbott.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday, the Speaker, Paul Ryan, said he's not going to defend Donald Trump anymore. What do you think about what's happened with the Trump campaign, the tape that has rather crude language? Is he somebody you can support?
Well, the only control I have over any campaign is my own. So I put out a statement last week that I'm going to stand by, and you can go to my campaign website and get it. But I can tell you that, as far as I'm concerned, it was terrible. It was shameful. It was unacceptable. My focus has to be telling people that I think that this is an election on choice, not on referendum. And I think Clinton would be far worse, and Hillary would make our country less safe, as you look at her foreign policies while she was Secretary of State, or the Obama foreign policy that she says she wants to build on. And I think the economic policies of the Obama administration, which Hillary says she wants to continue, would continue to make Iowans less prosperous. So I'm just concentrating on the issues of my race, and I won't go into those with you because I've expressed them on another call this morning. But basically, I'm concentrating on jobs for Iowans, on accountability in government to make sure that Iowans get the taxpayers, the benefit of their taxes they pay. And then thirdly, security. Both national security to make sure Iowans are protected from terrorism, and economic security for Iowans to make sure that we have an economic environment where jobs are created and people can prosper. Next.
Spencer?
Thanks. Just kind of sticking along the Trump vein of things, if current situations were to hold, there would be a Democratic president, a Democratic Senate, and probably a slimmer majority in the House, but staying Republican. So should something like that happen, what do you think that does to the legislation that a new Congress and a new president can produce, given the new margins, particularly as it relates to agriculture and a 2018 Farm Bill?
Yeah, it would be exactly the same as the Constitution dictates. So after this presidential election, it wouldn't be any different than the 50-some or almost 60 presidential elections we've had in the past. Presidents propose and Congress disposes. And that's the checks and balances of government.
Matt Kay?
Yeah, good morning, Senator. Hillary Clinton is elected president, how difficult do you think it's going to be for her to sway votes on TPP if she changes her position again? We already know she's called TPP the gold standard of peoples. We already know that she has, in private speeches, told a financial community folks that she'd like to see a hemispheric common market with open borders and open trade. So if she changes her position, what is going to be her situation politically in being able to lobby members of her own party for the trade agreement?
Well, you've asked several questions.
Well, my basic one is the difficulty factor.
Well, yeah. You know, like the WikiLeaks things came out last week saying you got to have a private position, maybe different than your public provision. So when somebody is that politically pliable, how are you expecting me to speculate on a person like that? Is difficult. But I know what an open border would do, and you ask about an open border. Terrorists could come in at will. All of the drugs could come in at will if you're going to have open borders. the national security of our country would be compromised. We wouldn't be a sovereign nation if you don't control your borders. So it's going to be a very dangerous society. Just look at the European Union and the people they've had killed by terrorists that have come in under their open border situation.
Right, but so, can you address the TPP issue?
I tried to address that when I said she's got a public position being against it, and she's politically pliable. She could change her mind, but I don't have any way of speculating, and you get into trouble when you speculate, so I don't want to speculate. But we know what her public position is. Now, maybe she's got a private position that could become public position. Just look at what she said on WikiLeaks. You got to have one position private, the other one public. So that means she's going to blow with the wind.
One other question. Supreme Court nominee, what do you see as the significance of that appointment when it's finally made in terms of agriculture, in terms of things that agriculture is interested in, issue areas like regulation, for example, yeah. and patenting, those kinds of things.
If Hillary appoints people like Sotomayor and Kagan and Ginsburg and Breyer, they all voted for more government regulation and giving EPA all the power that EPA thinks it has, even though maybe Congress didn't intend to give it to them. And if Hillary's going to appoint those kind of people, and she indicated Sunday night that that's what she's going to do, you're going to have 5-4 or 6-3 decisions against private property.
Thank you.
Kara Hart?
No further questions. Thank you.
Has anyone else joined the call?
Okay,
oh,
thank you
all
very much.
This is Amy from IPR again.
Oh,
sorry.
Who is it?
This is Amy.
I had said I didn't have a call question, but I did think of one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator. This week, the World Food Prize laureates are in Des Moines. The Norman Borlaug dialogues are happening. And it's something that's such a big deal in Iowa and in the food and ag sector, but not very much outside of that. So I'm curious, what do you think is the importance of the World Food Prize for the U.S., and in particular, should there be more attention outside of just the food and ag industry for people to understand what this prize is and why people are honored in this way?
Yeah. Let me ask the last question first. The World Food Prize is important not only nationally but internationally, and is best evidenced by the speech that was given yesterday by Mr. Thoreau, in which he talked about the first 1,000 days of a person's life, and if they don't have adequate nutrition from the moment of conception till they're 2 years old, they're going to be stunted, their brain growth isn't going to be very good, they're not going to be productive, and the entire world happens. Now, that's in regard to individual health. In regard to social cohesion, the old saying that people are only 9 meals away from revolution. In other words, if you went 3 days and you had kids that couldn't eat or you couldn't eat, you might do anything, including violence, to get food. And we don't see that in the United States because we have plenty of food. But within the last 10 years, you've seen it in Thailand and other places where rice got very expensive because it was very short. You had food riots. People were killed. And so the production of food is very important for social cohesion, social peace, people getting along, not only physically, but to make sure that they're civil with each other, because when people riot, they aren't civil with each other. So that's the importance of food nationally beyond just Iowa. Now, it's an Iowa institution because, as you know, Dr. Borlaug got the Peace Prize, 1970 or 71, for his Green Revolution. And he thought maybe 10 or 15 years later that why isn't there a Nobel Prize for agriculture? Well, that's up to the Nobel people, but they don't have one for agriculture. So he thought up the World Food Prize. And it's gained a lot of international attention, even though it's located in Iowa. And it may not be as famous as a Nobel Prize, but remember 1902, when Nobel started the first prizes, the Nobel Prize didn't mean much in 1902, and it's very prestigious over the last 60 or 70 years. And when the World Food Prize matures like Nobel did, it'll be just as famous as the Nobel Prize.
That's Senator Charles Grassley in a conference call recorded on Tuesday morning, October the 11th, 2016. I'm Ken Root on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.